Good morning. But who do you say that I am? We've been looking at that question Sunday after Sunday for a number of weeks now. And the answer to that question for me today isn't one that I was expecting when I first began working with worship committee about this theme. And it's not even my answer. It's one that I read in my preparation work for this sermon, and it surprised me so much that I couldn't let it go. Sometimes these experiences of stumbling across something like a statement that is so different that you don't even know if you disagree with it or not, but you can't stop thinking about it. Sometimes these intellectual or theological irritants, you might call them, turn into pearls, though. Or to use a biblical metaphor, sometimes welcoming a strange idea is like welcoming a stranger, and you might end up entertaining angels. My work with Enneagram and with Soul Collage has also taught me that sometimes my subconscious can recognize an important truth long before my mind catches up. So when I have a really strong reaction to something, whether it's positive or negative, I'm learning to respect it, a little bit like a metal detector. Nothing's visible, but often there's something there under the surface. So, I turned my attention this week to this theological irritant. Maybe it's not for you, it was for me. And I'll read you the exact sentence that started it. It was in a weekly email update from something called the SALT Project, which puts out a commentary weekly. And to be honest, I get lots of these emails. I enthusiastically sign up for lots of things, and then I'm just overwhelmed every week, and I barely open any of them. But for whatever reason, I opened the SALT Project email this week. Greetings from SALT. Read on for a theological classic from Alice Walker. Reflections on why it's good news that Jesus is going away, and the latest theologian's almanac featuring, wait, back up, reflections on why it's good news that Jesus is going away. Scrolling down to read more, because I have never heard that spun as positive before. So, an excerpt from the reflection was included in the email. We often think and speak of the good news of Christ's advent, Christ's arrival, his coming near. But here we learn of the good news of Christ's departure, his going away, from John 14, our lectionary for today. Read more? Why, yes, click. I knew I was a goner. I knew that this was a question that I was going to be thinking about all week. So I knew it was going to be the sermon. So what we're looking at today is Jesus, the God who leaves. And I am not saying this is who I say Jesus is, although I might be by the end of the sermon. We'll see. No. What prompted the SALT Project's lectionary reflection was the fact that we're coming up on 7 weeks after Easter, which means it's when the lectionary and the liturgical calendar remember Jesus' ascension. Thus, the icon that is on your bulletin this morning is one take on Jesus' ascension. The ascension story is told in the first chapter of Acts, which describes Jesus being lifted up and a cloud taking him out of the disciples' sight. And the narrator describes this as Jesus being taken up to heaven. I'll be honest, the ascension is not a story that I've spent a lot of time pondering. Mennonites don't really celebrate Ascension Day. Jesus makes clear to his disciples in all four of the Gospels that he will be leaving them. But most of these references seem to be centered around the crucifixion, around his death on the cross, that the Son of Man will suffer and die. And as we all know, so many years after the final episode, we know when we read those that the crucifixion is followed by the resurrection. So in some ways, even those warnings of Jesus leaving don't really feel like leaving, because it doesn't feel like leaving for good. And as I have grappled with theological understandings of the cross over the years, I don't see the cross as Jesus choosing to leave those he loved. I see him refusing to use violence to avoid leaving, But that feels very different than choosing to leave. And in the resurrection, he comes back. The leaving is temporary, like any good Hollywood movie. You might think the hero is dead, and you might even see him fall in what must have been a mortal blow, but out of the fog of the battlefield, he inevitably emerges to tears and embraces and reunion. When I stop to think about the ascension, though, I realize that Jesus really did leave. He said, "Peace out," thanks for the peace sign this morning, and quite literally left this world, according to the story. On the first Sunday of our Who Do You Say That I Am series, I talked about the many ways that Jesus was deeply human, and how we have done so much theological work, in my opinion, over the millennia, to distance God the Father from all the attributes of Jesus, God incarnate, that God took such pains to reveal to us by having Jesus live here on earth. But I admit that this is an aspect of human life that is so hard and that I deeply wish was avoidable, the temporary nature of life, that we must leave one another and be left by one another. My rational mind knows and accepts that death is as sacred a transition as birth and that the cycle of life includes death. When I think of the possibility of earthly immortality, as opposed to eternal life in heaven, but earthly immortality, I can see the disaster it would be. I mean, think of it environmentally alone. And yet, who among us would not choose to have our most dearly beloved never leave us? Contemporary songwriter Jason Isbell wrote a song in the last few years reflecting on this conundrum of love. And speaking of subconscious prompts, I'm guessing that the number of times I've listened to this song on repeat over the last couple of months might be part of what was being dredged up when this theological prompt came to me this week and I couldn't let it go. But this conundrum that he wrote about is, why is it or how is it that we can love so deeply? And in the process of writing this song, he became convinced that the fleeting nature of life is actually the very thing that lays the groundwork for love and meaning in relationship. The song is called If We Were Vampires. And it catches you off guard because surely a song with that kind of title couldn't be very profound or revelatory. I almost never listened to this song just because the title alone, I just didn't expect it would be the kind of song I would like. But he starts by listing all the usual things that love songs list as the reason why you love someone. It's not the long flowing dress that you're in, or the light coming off of your skin, the fragile heart you protected for so long, or the mercy in your sense of right and wrong. On and on he lists things that are true and that are lovely. But this is what he comes to. If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke and laugh at all the lovers and their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find, and hope it isn't me who's left behind. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone, or one day you'll be gone. For Isbell, it is only the awareness of the temporary nature of life and the urgency that comes of acceptance of inevitable separation from those we love that allows us to really cherish, to really love, that gives us the push to be as vulnerable as love requires. If we had forever, we'd never muster the courage to act, he says, or be able to see the preciousness of a person sharing themselves with us. What does this have to do with Jesus, you might ask? Was this part of what God needed to experience by living as a human, I wonder? What if God wanted to see what all the fuss was about? The exquisite pain and beauty of temporary earthly love? And I think the answer is, at least in part, yes. But the way God lived that life in Christ was not in crash and burn Romeo and Juliet fashion. Jesus showed us a person who loved deeply, who wept in Gethsemane and on the cross when his own end of life was near, who wanted to be remembered by his friends and to live on in their memories and live on in their lives and their practices. Jesus showed us a person who knew that he would not always be among his friends and thus appreciated and blessed outpourings of love toward him, like the anointing with the expensive oil that was lavished on him. Even in receiving that, he said, "I will not always be with you." But he also was deeply differentiated and not enmeshed in ways that are sometimes hard to read. Like when he told Mary after the resurrection, "Don't cling to me." Like when he said that sometimes to follow, you had to leave relational ties that held you back. He encouraged people to persevere in difficult situations, but also that it could be okay to leave situations. Sometimes it's okay and even needful to shake the dust off your feet and leave. But he also showed us that leaving does not have to be abandonment, that the spirit of a person can be powerfully present in the world even long after they draw their last breath. Jesus says in the verses that Verna read for us, "Don't be afraid. The Spirit will remind you of me and remind you of all that I've taught you. Even in my absence, there will be peace. By going, I give you my Spirit. Even in my leaving, I am both going away and I am coming to you." The authors of the initial prompt that drew me to this topic argued that Jesus' leaving allowed an even deeper intimacy with God through the Spirit than was possible when Jesus walked among them. This, they said, was the good news of Jesus leaving, the indwelling of the Spirit. And although that makes intellectual sense to me, it's hard logic for the heart. I'm not sure I will ever be able to say in honesty that I would prefer the spirit of a loved one to their physical presence. It feels like a necessary transition and a cloud with silver linings, but it's a cloud. But I am comforted that even this is a path that Christ has traveled before me, the path of leaving behind those we love in this life. And I am comforted and encouraged, as in filled with courage, by the implicit trust in us that we can handle loss, that we can handle separation and differentiation, the implicit assumption that we can survive hard things. The way a parent encourages a child through even difficult transitions, trusting that the child will eventually be able to stand alone and that the words and love imparted to the child will always be with them. For ultimately, one of the most loving and necessary acts a parent can engage in is the gradual teaching and modeling and showing a child that they will be okay on their own when the time comes. Do not be afraid. I am going, Jesus said, but my spirit will always be with you. For Jesus may have left this earth 2,000 years ago, but the love of Christ will never leave us, nor can anything on earth or in heaven separate us from that love. This too, Jesus, is who I say you are. Amen.
In one night,